Lord. And Father, again, as we study your word and look at it, I pray that we think on the things that you teach us, Father, and we'd be doers of those things, Lord, that we might grow into maturity, into spiritual excellence, Father. Lord, I just thank you for each one here. And God, again, I just pray that we, as your people, Father, we have a hunger and a thirst to know you and to love you and to serve you, Father. And Lord, I just pray in the day and age in which we live that there's so much to confound and distract and get us on to compromise, Father. I just pray, Lord, that we're steadfast and anchored, Father, in your word. And Father, give us that urgency to share the hope that we have. Lord, that we might just have a burden in our hearts, Lord, for the lost in this day and age. Father, strengthen us, give us wisdom and discernment. And Lord, again, that we'd be that godly people that just love you, Father, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you again, Lord, for the privilege we have to come together. And Father, again, I just pray that what's said and done here today is to your glory and for your honor. And we just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to start chapter 4. We're just going to probably get through the first two verses. But here it says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as how to we ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." That's as far as we're going to go today. But, you know, last week we looked at how Paul was just encouraging and praying for the church, and, you know, how he said in verse 12 of chapter 3, he said, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all the people, just as also we do for you, and that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints." You know, Paul's heart's desire was to see his people that he ministered, that they would grow and mature and increase and abound in love for one another and a love for the Lord. And, you know, to establish your hearts without blame, in holiness, and to look forward to the Lord's coming. You know, that was one of the things that, you know, coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. You know, that's our hope, as we look forward to the Lord returning and coming. And now, you know, Paul challenges us to excel still more. You know, Paul urged the Thessalonians and all believers, really, not just, it's for us too, to excel in Christian living more and more. And, you know, to attain the spiritual progress that Paul had in mind could only happen when believers have a strong and resolute longing to know God. You know, that's what Paul wanted for them, and he wants for us, just to have a longing to know and love the Lord. You know, there's a danger of a Christian thinking that they have no further need to progress in their Christian life, no longer to progress in their sanctifying process. You know, but we need to understand, really, on this side of heaven, you know, no believer will come to what God desires them to be, really, spiritually. You know, but we should desire to excel still more spiritually. And, you know, even the church, as strong as the Thessalonian church was, they might have been tempted to settle for just a spiritual mediocrity or spiritual status quo. Because of Paul's solid instruction, when he was with them, they were living godly lives. And, you know, and he commanded them, you know, he commended them previously. And we saw that in chapter 1 and chapter 2, where he said that they were doing what they should be doing. And he commended them for that. Because of this, the Thessalonians might have thought that their spiritual condition really was ideal, and they had no need or room for improvement. You know, but Paul wanted them to grow spiritually and to encourage them to do so. And thus he does that for us also. You know, we can see Paul's understanding of this in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, that's what we should be doing. That's our goal, is to press on to the upper prize of our Lord. You know, as a faithful teacher and shepherd, you know, Paul was diligent not only to impart truth to the church, but also to apply that truth to himself and to motivate others to apply it with an increasing way. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know, he wanted them to press on and to grow and mature for the Lord. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4:10, he repeats this again. When we get to there, it says, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, here it is, to excel still more. Don't be satisfied with where you are spiritually, but to excel still more. Pursue spiritual maturity. And, you know, really from here in chapter 4, verse 1, clear to chapter 5, verse 22, his primary purpose was to exhort the church to strive for spiritual excellence. We're going to see that in these coming verses, that he wanted the church to grow spiritually. And, you know, so in verse 1 here, it says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. You know, Paul makes it clear that the goal of the Thessalonians, and really ours too, should be spiritual excellence, that we excel still more in our walk with the Lord. You know, request there, it's a Greek word that it refers to a gentle, humble suggestion offered among equals. That's the definition of that request. It does not contain a military thinking or a command, you know, ordering like you would a soldier or something like that, or a master ordering a slave or a servant. It's a humble suggestion that Paul is saying, we request this of you. And so, you know, Paul was not ordering the Thessalonians, but gently and humbly requesting that they, as brethren, it says, press toward spiritual maturity, that sanctifying process. You know, also the word exhort is that familiar word parakaleo, which means to come alongside and to encourage. So Paul uses it here to express his desire to help their spiritual growth, that he would come alongside them and encourage them to grow spiritually. And so Paul, you know, he exhibited much humility and a shepherd's concern toward the Thessalonian believers. And because of their, you know, their living was pleasing to God, Paul had no reason to be hard on them, but rather to graciously exhort them to not be content with where they are spiritually, that they grow spiritually, that they excel, it says, still more. You know, and the question would be for us, are we content with where we are spiritually? Are we happy with where we are? Are we content with where we are today? And so this is a challenge for us also. Don't be satisfied with where you are spiritually. Excel still more. Grow in the Lord. You know, the word excel, it's a Greek word that means to abound, to be abundantly supplied, to overflow, or to exist in full quantity, and to be over and above even, to be advanced. You know, excel, be advanced, be over and above where you are now is the idea. Paul used the word excel in a way to tell the Thessalonians that this intent was for them to become spiritually advanced, spiritually above all. That's what he's calling them for. They excel to a higher degree is the idea. You know, don't be satisfied with where you are spiritually. excel still more. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. You know, grow spiritually. And, don't be content with where we are. And so Paul's priority for believers was that their spiritual progress really motivated by a desire to know God. You know, do you have a desire to grow and to know the Lord more? You know, Psalm 42:1-2, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. You know, just like a deer pants for the water, that's how we should have that urgency, just panting for the Lord, to know Him, to know God. You know, Paul's priority for believers was their spiritual progress was motivated by a desire to know God. And so for the believer, the pursuit of knowing God is a basic issue of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. You know, Philippians 3, let me read that. In Philippians 3, really 3:7-10. Let me get there. It says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. You see, Paul was saying there, you know, he counts everything as loss compared to knowing the Lord. You know, it's all just rubbish. And, you know, so this is what Paul, you know, for a believer, the pursuit of knowing God is the basic issue of spiritual growth. That should be our heart's desire, is to know God. And if gaining more information about the Bible and participating, you might say, in spiritual activities, you know, even doing things like praying or serving or witnessing, if they're not linked to the desire to know God better, they may not bring spiritual growth to those who profess faith in Christ. You see? It's the heart attitude here. You know, and you know that, remember, we kind of see that in 1 Corinthians 13, that familiar love chapter, you know, where Paul was talking about, you know, if I speak with all tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. But if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. You see, the point is, we can serve with the wrong attitudes. If we're not serving with the purposes of loving God and serving Him and others, it profits nothing. And so Paul was concerned about that, you know, and he goes in our verse back to our text. You know, he says, finally, brethren, we request you with and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as how to you ought to walk and please God. Instruction on how to please God. You know, in the Lord Jesus, it refers to those, of course, he says, in the Lord Jesus, that would refer to those who are believers. If you're in the Lord Jesus, you're a believer. The regenerate and those who share an eternal life with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here to believers, you know, only true believers really possess that spiritual power and insight to accomplish true spiritual growth. You can't grow spiritually if you're not a believer. But we know that this because, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You see, you can't pursue God's wisdom and God's maturity if you're not a believer, because it would just be foolishness to those who are unbelievers. The only way any Christian virtue can increase is when the Lord causes that to happen, because you're a true believer. And the power to excel comes from the power of Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, Galatians 2:20, when we studied that, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, it's the power to excel comes because of the indwelling God, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And in this case, it says Christ who lives in me. And so, you know, Paul called the Thessalonians to spiritual excellence, which they could attain because it says here they were in the Lord Jesus. And so the Thessalonians, it says, received from Paul divine principles, spiritual truths, and the gospel. Paul taught doctrines concerning, it says, how you ought to walk in conduct with their daily lives. He gave them instruction on how to live the Christian life. You know, the instruction taught them how to walk daily, but not only just to walk, but to how to please God, it says in our text. A Christian lives to please God, literally to strive to please him and to glorify him. It literally means that in the Greek, to strive to please him. That's what we should do as Christians. You know, and some of the instructions, and just thinking about this, some of the instructions on how we live to please and glorify God, of course, all these things are given to us in Scripture, but just to list a few, to confess our sin regularly. You know, that's instruction on how to glorify God. We confess our sin regularly. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that's one thing that we do that to please God is that we admit our sin, that we confess our sin before him. You know, we're to pray continually and trust him. That pleases God that we seek him in prayer. You know, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, that pleases God that we seek him, that we pray. You know, Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace and the help to help in time of need. You see, we seek God's throne. We come to him in prayer. That pleases God that we pursue him. You know, we're to pursue humility. That pleases God that we walk as humble people. You know, Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one regard others as more important than themselves. Do not only look for your own interest, but also the interest of others. You know, that's a high calling, isn't it? How many of us really live that way? That we value somebody else as more important than ourselves? That takes a real humble spirit, doesn't it? To honor others more than ourselves. That takes a real humble attitude, you know. In Colossians 3:12, it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You see, he says, if you're in Christ and you've been chosen for God, put on a heart of humility. You know, Ephesians 4, when we studied that, 4:1-3, it says, therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But there, he says, you know, to walk in a manner worthy of that calling, he includes humility. Humble yourselves. Be a humble person with gentleness and all those things, you know. In Matthew 20:26-28, it says, it is not this way among you, But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, Jesus is our perfect example. You know, he came to serve and not be served. And so that's the calling here, is, you know, that we honor God when we live a life of humble service, that we regard others as more important than ourselves. And that's a hard calling. That's a real challenge for us. You know, also we please God when we are content with God's will as it's revealed in his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for reproof and teaching, correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be, in some texts is adequate, but it means perfect or complete, equipped for every good work. You see that, you know, when we're content, all scripture is inspired by God to help us grow that way, to mature us, to make us complete, perfect. It's a Greek word, aptios, means to be perfect. Scripture can make us complete and perfect, but we have to be in it, you know, to do that, obviously. And so, you know, but also we please God when, and this is a hard one, when we're willing to suffer for his namesake. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Will be persecuted. John 15:20 says, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. You see, try to sell that to the name it and claim it bunch that want to get up there and say, you know, God is, or Christ is for your progress and wealth and all that. Get up there and tell them, no, no, you're going to suffer for the Lord if you become a Christian and receive that too well, you see. But that's, that, you know, as Christians, we can be persecuted for what we believe. You know, it pleases God when we evangelize the lost. You know, we see that in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am all with you always, even till the end of the age. You see, you know, this is what we do. We're to evangelize. That pleases God when we have a heart for the lost and sharing that hope that we have. That pleases the Lord. You know, we're to celebrate the Lord's table. We do that every first of the month, you know, 1 Corinthians 11. All those things that we do when we celebrate the Lord's table. We're recognizing what Jesus Christ did for us with a humble heart. You know, that the Lord came and died for us. We please God when we remember what the Lord Jesus did for us. You know, it pleases God when we care for one another. You know, we gain some understanding in James 2:15 and 17. It says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You see, it pleases God when we truly care for one another. And the question I would ask, are we invested in the lives of those around us? Do we pay attention to those in need around us? Are we willing to meet that need, you know, and not just give verbal, just say something verbally, peace to you. You know, we need to meet those needs of those around us. You know, that pleases God. We're to honor God in our marriages, in our families. You know, remember when we studied Ephesians, chapters 5 and 6, it talked about our relationships with husbands and wives and children and masters and all those things that we learned. You know, we're to honor God with our marriages and families. Colossians 3:18 through 21, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands. It is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing, well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. You see, we're to be loving our wives and our husbands and our children and those who are in authority even. And so, you know, those are important. It honors God when we honor our spouses and our children and in our marriages and our families. That pleases the Lord. You know, we please God and glorify God by being diligent and fruitful in our service to Him. You know, this is one of the things that, well, we even talked about it this morning in our prayer time. You know, it pleases and glorifies God when people are using their spiritual gift to minister to each other. You know, God's given you a spiritual gift or gifts when you were saved. And are you ministering that to the body to honor the Lord? You know, Matthew 3:8 says, therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, Colossians 1:10 says we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, as believers, we're to be honoring the Lord and diligent with our service to him and to others. That pleases the Lord. You know, we've been given a spiritual gift, and that's one of our greatest challenges, is that people minister to the body of Christ with their spiritual gift. And when we don't do that, like it says in Corinthians, we're crippled. We're hurting. And we should all be ministering to each other with whatever God's given you to do. You see? That honors and pleases the Lord. But you know, Paul, Silas, and Timothy had taught the Thessalonians how they ought to live as Christians. And, you know, out of obedience, you know, they were living out what they had learned. You know, they were being doers of those things that they heard and understood and were taught. But it goes on in our text, back to our text. At the end of verse 1, walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. It goes on, and we'll deal with that next week. All those things that give evidence of that walk. But, you know, just as you actually do walk, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. You know, spiritual growth is not an instantaneous thing. It's not an immediate thing. It does not happen overnight. And I think we all understand that. It's work, isn't it? To mature. Instead, the pursuit of spiritual growth and excellence, it's really a lifelong commitment. It takes a lifelong commitment to grow spiritually. You know, as we walk, it says, in our daily obedience, believers gradually and surely become more and more like Christ. And, you know, Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians, it was a reminder to them to keep progressing. It says, just as they already actually did walk, our text says, but they're to keep progressing, keep walking that way. And they were on the road of sanctification, of growing in the Lord, and Paul wanted them to stay on that road and to have that determined mindset as a long-distance runner or a boxer would, you know, that in 1 Corinthians 9 it talks about. You know, stay on that road. Press on. You know, there it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And here it is, run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, And I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. You see, the point is you run with purpose. You run to please the Lord. That we're growing in our walk with the Lord. That we press on toward that goal of being more like Christ. You know, the incentive for the Thessalonians to stay on the path of righteousness, really, and to excel more in their walk with Christ is derived really from the fact that they knew, it says in our text here, what commandments Paul gave them was by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that authority came from the Lord. You know, the commandments there in the Greek, it's a Greek word that refers to a strong, really authoritative directives delivered by a commanding officer to his subordinates. That's what that means. They're commands. And this means that the church should not take what the Apostle Paul was giving here as instruction. They should not take that lightly. These are commands. You know, he not only reminded the Thessalonians of those commandments he gave, but he also reminded them of that divine authority by which they were given, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, it says. You know, Paul's instruction did not originate from some arbitrary human authority, but it came, it says in our text, the authority of the Lord Jesus. In obedience to them, you know, obedience to them then became mandatory, is the idea. You know, that it was mandatory. These are commands that came from the Lord. And so they're mandatory to walk that way. You know, they're God's instructions. You know, and that familiar passage, it's always kind of in Matthew 7, you know, that we've often used that. But, you know, in Matthew 7, we're, let me get there so I don't misquote it. But in Matthew 7, verse 21, you know, that familiar passage, he says there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You see, it's that kind of command. It's doing what God says. Not all those that say, oh, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of the Father will see heaven. And that's important. You know, those instructions, again, here, they're commands from the Lord Jesus. And he's telling them, do what these things say. You know, in 1 John 2:3-6, it says, by this we know that we have come to know him, what? If we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, speaking of the Lord, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought to himself, and here it is, walk in the same manner as he walked. You see, if we truly say we're in the Lord, we walk in the same manner as he walked. And that's what Paul's saying in our text. These are, the authority came from the Lord Jesus. So follow these commands. Walk in these commandments. That's what Paul is saying in our text here. And so, you know, really Christians who seek to know God better, to love him more and more, and to obey him more and more thoroughly, must live by the commands that we see in Scripture. And I think we understand that. We constantly teach that. Believers will then experience the growth towards spiritual excellence, as it says here, to excel still more through the power of the indwelling Spirit through God's Word. You know, by obedience to the truths of God's Word. That's how we excel still more. And that should be our desire to know and love the Lord more and more. And the only way we can do that is if we're in the Word. How are we going to know God unless we know what God said? You see, Paul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You know, so we're all being transformed because we're in the Lord. And we're being transformed in the image of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, as we progress to be more like Christ, the only way we can do that is to know the Word of God. And this occurs when believers look into the Scriptures and really reflect on the Lord and reflect on His glory. You know, that's the only way we can excel still more. That's the only way we can grow. And so then the question is, are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? Are you satisfied to where you are today? Or should you excel still more? You see, that's the admonition that Paul is giving us here. Don't be satisfied with where you are today. You know, press on, excel still more. And we can only do this by being in the Word of God. And you know, and then to be, you know, doers of those things that God teaches us. Not just hearers only, but be obedient to what He says. And, you know, do not be in, you know, we're not to be content with where we are spiritually today. And, you know, we're to press on toward the goal of the calling of the Lord. Press on to that upward call in the Lord Jesus Christ is the idea that Paul is saying here. Press on, you know, excel still more. And so that's a challenge for us. And I know we're going to get out a little early today, but I did want to start that next section because I wanted us to understand this. But, you know, Paul is exhorting us and the Thessalonians there, don't be satisfied with where you are. You know, press on to the glory of God. And the only way we can do that to excel still more is to be in the Word of God, that we know the God of the Word, you see? And that's what our call is. And so, you know, don't be satisfied with where you are spiritually. Press on to the upward call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any other comments before we close? Let's go ahead and close our prayer then. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, Lord. And I pray, Father, as Your people, that we are not satisfied with where we are. Lord, that we truly want to come to know You more and more. And that, Lord, it's a lifelong process of being those godly people that You desire.